I want to turn to the 37th Psalm this morning. And I will read from verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That's reading from verse 4. Through verse 7 of the 37th Psalm. And I feel that this fourth verse especially is a very good beginning point. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now that's a good beginning point and ending point too. And that's a good formula for a successful and happy life. To just delight yourself in the Lord. And if you want to receive all the good things in life, delight yourself in the Lord. This text says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The desires of people can be fulfilled if they'll just go by this simple little rule, delight themselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the way of the Lord. And commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Now, as you know, I'm bringing some lessons now on courtship and marriage and home life and husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and parents and children, family relationships, the whole package. I hope to cover the whole package before I'm through. But I feel that this little text is a very good beginning place if you're going out to shop for a mate. If you're looking for a life's companion, start with delighting yourself in the Lord. And carry it on that way. Delighting yourself in the Lord all the way. And he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Folks, there's so much failure on this line at this point, it's downright pitiful. And in this most important venture of your life, second only in its importance to the salvation of your soul, and it has such a close relationship with that that it's a close runner-up for it. It will affect you and your life more than any other venture that you will make in life. And if you hope to be successful, my advice to you in the very beginning is commit your way to the Lord. Delight yourself in Him and trust in Him, and He says He'll bring it to pass. And when God makes a union, it's the right union. When God brings you somebody, that's the right fellow for you. My mother used to work a lot with young folks. And of course, at some point in life, they would all tell her, "I don't ever expect to get married." She says, "Just wait till Mr. Wright comes along." When Mr. Wright comes along, he changes lots of people's minds. And sometimes the folks don't wait for Mr. Wright. Brother Mark brought us a message here a while back, and he emphasized two or three times in that message that there were things that were worse than going through life single. And the principal thing that he emphasized was going through life with the wrong mate. Now that's bad. That's worse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He said in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the first verse, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." God had something definite in mind when He said that. And He emphasized thy youth. And further over in the Bible, in Zechariah, He says, "Run, speak to this young man. Why all the haste?" Because things happen so fast in our youth. And things happen in our youth that will affect us throughout all of our lives if we live 100 years. The things that happen to us in our youth will affect us all of our lives. God knew this, so He said, "Get me in on it while you're young." And the thing that happens to most folks before they get clear out of the period of their youth is their marriage. And God knew how that is going to affect you, and it'll affect you all of your life. So He said, "Get me in on it right on the start." That's important. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future from the past. He knows how things are going to work out on down the line, and you don't. I don't neither. But God knows. And God can bring you in contact with a prospective spouse that will be loyal to you and stand by you all the days of your life, and that you can have confidence and entering into a marriage relationship with them. When the Lord is leading, I think of a text now. He said he led them, he dried up the Red Sea and led them through the depth as through the wilderness. When God is leading, he can lead us just as well in the depth as he can out there in the dry land. And it's safe to follow him. But get him in on it, because it's never safe to venture in this on your own. Never safe. And many things can happen that you didn't think was going to happen. And if you allow yourself to fall madly and passionately in love with somebody outside of Christ, you may think, oh, it's going to always be this way, but it might not. But the Lord knows how it's going to be on down the line. Delight yourself in the Lord and he can lead you right. In the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 25, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added. Folks, that should be the first thing that you'd be concerned about. Young people, when they start their lives, they start them in enthusiasm, and they start them in big anticipation and great things and all, and I'm going out and do it. I'll just take it in. The prodigal son thought that. He thought, if I was just out from under my father's jurisdiction now, he's holding me down. He's hindering me. If I were out on my own and had some money, I could go places and do things. So he propositioned his father that he would give him the portion of goods that fell to him, advance his inheritance to him. And his father did. Let him have what was coming to him. And he went on out. He thought, now I can really accomplish things now. He thought he could paddle his own canoe. Well, he did. He paddled it right down in the center of the hog pen, and there he bogged down. He'd gone as far as he'd go. He came to the end of himself. But he got out there and he found people doing things he didn't know humans did that way. And he got swamped in it. Spent his substance in riotous living and showed up broke and all of his friends gone. Nobody to give him now. Nobody to help him out. He hadn't expected that. You don't expect the things that will come your way either if you don't take the Lord into your life at an early stage. And there's not anything more important than for you to have the Lord when you're out shopping for a mate. When you're looking for someone to share your life with. There's nothing more important than being led to the Lord in that. We hear people say a lot of times, I don't want to do anything, only as the Lord leads me. Well, that's good policy to live by. But begin at the beginning place. The first starting point of your adult life will be your marriage. And be just as sincere about not wanting to make a move in that unless the Lord leads you as you are in other things that happen in your life. We're likely to be swept off of our feet by emotions in that time. And we're likely to mistake infatuation for true love. And when we're caught up in that, that's heaven to us. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we want. But that doesn't last. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every young person should put that first. Before you even start to think about getting married and courting and going out shopping for a mate, you ought to see to that. Take care of that. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." There's a promise to this, folks. He says here in this verse 5 that I read, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass." And folks, when he brings it to pass, it'll be the right pass. When the Lord does it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. How many times have I heard young folks, when they were being admonished and cautioned and instructed and all along this line, they'd say, "I know what I want." That's the very thing he's cautioning you against. In this verse, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Now he's promised to do this, but it's contingent on some conditions. The first one is that you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it may look to you like the Lord's late. May look to you like the Lord's letting you down. He's going to fail you. But he said you just trust in him with all your heart. And this goes ahead and says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him. Rest at ease. While you wait, wait patiently upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now what does that mean? It means something definite, something certain. And it's on this contingency that he has promised to direct your paths when you acknowledge him in everything. The idea is Consult God about all your affairs of life, and above all about your courtship and your marriage. Consult God. Take Him in on it. He wants to be your partner in life. And He doesn't want to be a silent partner, neither. Acknowledge Him, seek His divine guidance, recognize His leadership and His right to leadership in your life. Then He said He'd direct your paths. And in the paths that He directs you, they'll be right. And He'll bring you right down to you, zero right in on somebody that He puts in your path. God puts people together that belong together. And He wants to be recognized in that. The world's in a sad moral state now. Very sad. We're told that we're running on a 2-to-5 divorce ratio. That means 2 divorces out of every 5 marriages. It's a pretty big percentage. And I heard Dr. Dobson say on his radio program, Focus on the Family, the other day. He's in Southern California, and he said it's about 50-50 down there. Divorce rate. Why is this? It's because people haven't done what I'm telling you you should do this morning. They haven't counted God in on their plans of life. They've taken their own way, and God's word says plainly, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own way. And when people take their own way, they're more than likely to run into problems and troubles down the line. It's just not in man to direct his own way, and God knew it, so He says, get me in on it. God inhabits eternity. God can see this way and that way to the farthest expanses of eternity. And in that scope, He sees you and me in our little sphere of life down here. In our little time, and He can see it from beginning to end. And He knows how to direct your way. And He says He will if we'll just acknowledge Him. Submit to Him. Commit our way to Him. Trust in Him. And let Him have His way in our lives. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verse 26, says, ponder the paths of your feet, that all your steps be established. People are taking chances today. People are playing recklessly in the greatest game there is in their lives. And there's a reckless attitude toward marriage today. And I've actually heard some folks say, well, I'm going to try this out. If it doesn't work, well, there are others. That is pitiful. That's a poor way to start a marriage relation. people that have advised their children and advised other folks, this person isn't treating you right. Dump them. There's others waiting for you out there. That's bad. That's way off course. Ponder the paths of your feet. Weigh things out. And courtship's the time to do it. Weigh everything out. Talk everything out. I know a person now, two persons. They married. And each of them had their home. When it come down to it, neither one of them wanted to give up their home. So the way they're solving that is just fly back and forth across the country, live in one home a few months, and fly back and live in the other home a few months. They ought to have talked that out and had that all settled before they ever entered marriage. We ought not to leave anything undone and misunderstood that we possibly know of that could affect us in the time of our courtship before we ever get married. Have everything all thrashed out and understandings arrived at, and this is it. This is the way we're going to live our lives. Ponder the path of thy feet. Feet is symbolical of your walk, your way of life. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. When you take a step, be sure you're making the right step. Don't take a step with any wonderment in your mind. It's a strike against you if you enter into a marriage with some question revolving in the back of your mind. I just wonder how it's going to work out. That's a strike against you to start with. Now from the scriptures, and all through the scriptures, and I'm going to give you several. Won't have time this morning, but I'm going to get started. It is made perfectly clear that God forbids the marriage of saints with sinners. And also he forbids the marriage of saints in light with sectarians. So when you go to shop for a mate, you ought to just eliminate those to start with. And never take any second look at people like that. In my young days, Dorothy Dix was a columnist in the paper such as Ann Landers and Dear Abby are now. And she was considered as one of the principal counselors and advisors on home problems and marriage problems and one thing and another. And she said that one of the major causes of problems and differences between married partners was a difference of religious faiths. Now, folks, that's going to make you trouble. God knew it, so he said, don't do it. He knew that it would make trouble. I know that it'll make trouble too. I've seen too many of these and been involved in too many situations. I know that it'll make trouble. So God's word is just taboo on saints marrying sinners and saints in light marrying so-called Christians, and maybe they are, I don't question that, but are not in light. I remember Charles Smith, one time he was called to go up the country a ways to marry a woman, and he knew this woman, knew her real well, and she was one of the old saints. She wanted him to come up and perform a marriage ceremony for her and her fiancé. He said, well, sister, said, who are you marrying? I didn't know you were getting ready to get married. Says, who are you marrying? And she called the man's name, and he said, I don't recognize that name. I know most of the saints in this area pretty well, but says, I don't recognize that name. Is he one of the saints? Well, no, but he's a good Christian man. Well, who is he? Where does he belong? Well, he's a member of something, she said. I don't know what it was. When he had talked to her a little bit, he said, sister, he said, I would much rather come up there to preach your funeral than I would to perform that wedding. That's just out of order. That isn't right, and he wouldn't go. I wouldn't go either. I don't participate in that kind of ceremonies, and that kind of weddings. And I didn't blame him for not going. But he made it strong. He said, I'd much rather come up there to preach your funeral than I would to perform that wedding. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, verses 2 through 4, we have the case here of Abraham and his quest for a spouse for his son Isaac. And on this occasion, he had called his chief steward, his servant, and told him, said, now, I'm going to make you swear to me. That's the way they did it back in those days. Perform an oath. That you will not take any of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live for a wife for my son Isaac. He knew that wouldn't work. But you go back to my father's house and bring my son Isaac a wife from there. Well, that's a beautiful little story. I just read it yesterday. It incorporates a chapter and a half or so. And the servant said, and perchance the woman won't come with me. Then what? Well, he said, if she refuses to come, why, you'll be free from your oath. But he says, you go and the Lord go with you. Well, he got down there and he came to a well, and it was about time for the women to come out to draw water. And he sat down there and he had his camels, and he put the Lord to the test. He said, now the God of my master Abraham, I'm going to put you to the test here now, that you will guide me in this. And the woman that comes down here to draw water, I'm going to ask her for a drink out of her pitcher. And if she sets her pitcher down and gives me a drink and says, I'll draw water for your camels too, said, I'll take it that you're with me in this. And he just about finished speaking in his heart. He wasn't speaking to anyone, but he was just speaking in his heart between him and God, and just about finished that little speech, and here come Rebecca. She got her pitcher filled with water, and he approached her and said, could I have a drink of water out of your pitcher? And she hastened to put the pitcher down and give him drink, and says, yes, and said, I'll just draw water for your camels too. Well, he began to take out his gifts. His earrings and his shekels of gold, he knew he was on the right track. This was the one. And he just began taking out his gifts. And he said, would you by any chance have any place that me and my company could stay up at your house, and a place for my camels? Oh, yeah, said, we've got plenty of room. And so her brother came out, and he got him and took him up there, and they provided for his camels and took him and his men in the house. And he made his mission known the next morning, and he explained to them all about it and just how it happened and all. And so he was sure this was the one. And they agreed to it. They let her go. And he took her home with him, and she became Isaac's wife. And from this pair came Jacob and Esau, and from Jacob the whole tribes of Israel came. God blessed that union and gave them a numerous posterity and fulfilled his promise to Abraham that as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore is innumerable, that's the way your seed's going to be. And he gave him a great progeny through Isaac and Rebekah, and continued the line and the covenant right on through Isaac and Rebekah. Now Abraham was the beginning of a new race, God's race, the Jewish race. He stood in the position to that raise a people as Adam did to the whole human race, and everything, excuse me, everything in the whole Jewish nation checked right back to Abraham, and is still doing that in Jesus' day. Now, he was the royal head of the Jewish race, and they were the people of God. But the Bible said that he became our father. He became the father of all who believe, Romans 4:11. And Romans 4:16 says he is the father of us all. And Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham is a royal head of ancient Israel, the Jewish race. But through the twofold covenant that God gave him, he became the royal head of the generation of Christ down here in this gospel age and time. It just conveyed right on down. Now he is our father. And he set the example for us of not allowing his son to take a daughter of the Canaanites to be his wife. Now, we didn't have the commandment of God yet. That came further on down the line over in Deuteronomy. Those instructions were given and incorporated in the law. Abraham didn't have that, but he had something in his soul that made him know what was the right course to take and what would happen if he didn't take that course, if he took some other. Something right in his conscience, right down in his inner being, told him that a union between his seed and some of these Canaanite's women would not work. It would not have the blessings of God upon it. Now, Isaac and Rebekah observed this same principle. And Esau was a headstrong kind of fellow and went on his own. Well, the time's out, so I'm not going to start into that now. But, Lord willing, I'll be back here again and we'll proceed further with that at some other time. But we're dealing with things that are of eternal moment now, folks, that involve us for this life and the life to come. And I pray God will help and bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen.